You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Pat Rigsby here with another episode of the Ideal Business Show. And today, my special guest is Mark Zalmanoff, who owns Mark Z Fitness and Nutrition in scenic Frisco, Texas. I've actually been to Frisco a handful of times holding elite training workshops way back when. So, booming town. So, welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Pat. Glad to be here, man.
So, tell you what, before we get into your most pressing questions, let's give the listeners a little bit of a backstory so they understand the type of business that we're working on and just kind of the scope of stuff, and then we'll go from there, okay?
Sounds good. So, I've been in the fitness business for 15 years now. It's all I've ever done as an adult, so that's super fun. I started off at one of the big box places and then went on my own. I briefly owned a gym for a little while, and then I've been an independent contractor for about the last 7-8 years. So I've been operating my in-house business out of other people's facilities, which has its benefits and has its drawbacks. But it's kind of allowed me to have freedom in my schedule to kind of come and go as I please and still give the experience that I strive to give to my clients. About a year, 2 years ago, I got certified through Precision Nutrition as a nutrition coach. So I've added that to the repertoire and started digging into the online side of things as well. So the last year, I've spent some real concentrated effort trying to build up that side of the business. And really, the goal was to start trying to back out of needing to be in the gym so much, which is taking an interesting turn, and we'll get to that in just a few moments. But, you know, I've definitely enjoyed the journey that I've been on. You know, I get great results from my clients. I have people that I've literally trained for years on end. I have a guy that just celebrated 10 years of training with me a couple of months ago, and you know, it's really been rewarding. And as a father, I have two kids, 17 and 11. It's also allowed me to be there for them, whether it's games or going to lunch or the book fair or whatever it may be. I've really had the freedom to just run my own show for a very long time, which, you know, it's worth all the struggles that, you know, we claim that we go through and all that. I mean, that just makes it totally worth it.
Man, I got to go to the book fair this morning, so
that's always a good time.
Yeah. So, well, let's get rolling. What is your most pressing question, the number one thing you need help with at the moment?
Well, a couple of months ago, I was approached by an old colleague of mine, and I now have the opportunity to take over a gym. And his facility is set up in a manner that is insanely similar to my business model of small group training and personal training. So this is going to happen very, very soon. I'll be taking on his clientele as well as adding my current clientele to the mix. And I guess the question I would have is, you know, what are the key things that I really need to be focused on in order to make the transition as, I guess, seamless as possible and to ensure the highest retention that I could possibly have of the clients that he's been working with for years?
Well, the first thing that I would do is I would think of this as, okay, you're potentially inheriting a group of individuals. So they're all individual people worried about their own individual self-interests. And this has changed, so they have every right to be a little bit uncomfortable. And so your number one job is to connect with each of them in a one-on-one way and learn about them and just find out about their individual goals and their wants and their needs and the things that are going well for them personally and the things that they'd like to see improved. And then almost treat it like a sales appointment where you're inheriting prospects rather than clients. So you talk to them about, okay, what would be a dream come true result for you 6 months from now or 12 months from now or something like that. And then ask them what they feel like needs to happen or change for them to get there. And then talk to them about how you're excited for the opportunity to kind of be their guide and their coach to help them get there. And I think if you do that, you stand the highest probability of connecting with each of them. And then the next thing kind of in line is to ask for some feedback on what they really loved about the current business and suggestions they might have to evolve it or make it an even better fit for them. I certainly wouldn't ever frame it in a way like, well, hey, how do you think we need to fix things? Because
right.
Obviously they were already investing their time and money into this. So they don't want to feel like, well, you're telling me that what I was paying for was broken. Like, so you have to frame it in a way so that they think, well, hey, you know what? This was already awesome for you. Are there any things that I could do to make it even better? And then get their feedback and consider that as you kind of evolve the way you approach things. Because what this does is it allows them to enjoy this sense of ownership where they're not necessarily losing a relationship with a previous owner as much than maybe in their eyes is they're taking a little bit more of an ownership stake in this kind of next version 2.0 of this business.
Right.
That would be where my focus would be if I were in your shoes.
Got it. That makes sense. Yeah. You know, it's, you know, even my current clients that are, you know, following me, you know, I know they have trepidation and questions. So it's obviously going to be coming from the other side too. And thankfully, you know, the current owner and I are actually going to work together to transition this. So, you know, he's not just going to up and leave and leave everybody, you know, standing around wondering what happened. So it's really a very blessed situation that we have.
Well, I happen to know you're the current owner very well. So, yeah, it is good. And I think that there's a wonderful handing of the baton opportunity here. But, you know, at the end of the day, we have to think about each of those individual clients as people who want to make sure that they're being made to feel important and not just as some asset being sold from one person to another.
Right.
So I think I would be investing a great deal of time and energy in making them all feel as important individually as you can.
Perfect. I dig it.
All right. Well, hey, that was great for question number one. What's question number two?
So I guess question number two would be then, so my plan for a couple of years has been how do I get out of being in the gym so much? And honestly, I never feel like I'm there a whole lot to begin with, even though I'm probably there more than I think I am. But, you know, I still get up at 4:45 in the morning, and at some time I'd like to stop doing that. And, you know, I'd like to take a couple of evenings off. So the next step to this for me is still striving towards that goal, which is, you know, that's my ideal business is I get to still do some of it, but I don't have to do all of it. So after I build up the clientele to a certain amount, then I have to figure out how do I scale this? You know, how do I start to assemble the team and essentially in the long run, you know, breed somebody to take over?
So the first thing that I would think about is you handing off some of the relationship equity that you're building with your clientele to a second coach in your organization or something like that, it is very much what you're going through right now with these guys. That is, I mean, that's essentially the same type of relationship transition that you would be doing for another coach, but on a much smaller scale, because you're not moving away, you're just relinquishing some of the day-to-day tactical stuff. So the way that I think you're best served to do that is to figure out when you're going to hire somebody, and you make that person almost kind of like your assistant coach rather than your co-coach, and let people get to know them while they're in the room with you simultaneously, right? So you have to think of this as a capital investment, not a, hey, I'm paying to hand off these sessions. It's, I'm going to invest in having this other person come on board and build a relationship with my clientele too. And then you'll start to back yourself away from some of the sessions. But that doesn't mean you're going to back yourself away from those relationships. So that means you still want to be the proverbial mayor of the organization, right? You want to be the one sending out the emails. You want to be the one doing the Facebook Lives or whatever the preferred communication channels are. You want to be making sure that you're connecting with your clients on a pretty regular basis. You know, high fives, hugs, handshakes, anything where you're making them continue to feel important to you. Because one of the things that happens when somebody transitions away from doing the training is it's a little bit of this shot to the client. The client feels like, well, hey, you know what? I felt like we were friends, we were close, and now you're just handing me off to somebody else, so I'm not as important.
Right.
And the key here is to make sure that you're not allowing them to feel any less important, so you have to continue to kind of maintain that relationship in other ways. And as long as you're doing that, you're going to be in great shape.
That sounds good. Yeah, you know, I really enjoy training. I mean, I enjoy being around people. I can't, it's hard for me to envision me not doing any of it. But again, you know, I know there's opportunity there. You know, I think our buddy Nathan down in Austin's a great example of, you know, somebody fulfilling that desire to still have a little bit of connection, be able to run the business, but have something insanely profitable and build a great team around it. And that's kind of, you know, that I'm looking at that almost as the model of where I'm going with this.
Yeah. And I think that if you do it the right way, it's an evolution. It's not this complete kind of quick absence, right? You're not all of a sudden doing a disappearing act or something. It's like, okay, well, I was seeing Mark 4 days a week in the gym, and now I'm seeing Mark 3 days a week, and now I'm seeing Mark 2 days a week maybe. Or Mark was coaching all of my sessions, and now Mark is coaching 2/3 of my sessions. So, like, it should never feel like you just went missing in action. And as long as it doesn't, then you're going to be able to maintain those relationships. If it does, then, you know, that's when you start to pay the price for some of that. And then over time, what's kind of neat about it is you get this luxury of the new people who come on board only knowing it for the way that it is currently, not the way that it was when you were training every session.
Right, right. That makes sense.
So, yeah, that should work really well. So, man, we're moving right through this fun stuff. What else you got?
The easy stuff, man. So here's something that I personally struggle with, and I'm sure a lot of other fitness entrepreneurs do as well. I feel like I'm never doing enough. And I think a lot of it comes from, the to-do list never ends. And I understand that. You know, when you're self-employed and running your own show, there's always something you could be doing. I could always be writing one more thing or reaching out to one more person. But I've really noticed it lately as my business has grown that it's almost the desire that I have to continue to build it. Like, it's great, but it also haunts me because then I can't shut it off. So I'm really, that's kind of a real struggle of mine lately, is just being okay with knowing that what I did today was enough and that I can do more tomorrow instead of, okay, one more thing. And then, you know, it's 11:30 and I got to get up at 4 something in the morning.
So maybe you could look at this through a different lens, and maybe the right lens is looking at it through, well, what can I do today that would signify me kind of winning the day, is the phrase that I use, right? So yes, we're going to have a never ending list of things that we could do. And that's as much of it's like being a curse of entrepreneurship. There's always, I mean, even outside of entrepreneurship, there are always things that you could do around the house. There's always stuff that we could do to kind of purge some of the things that have accumulated, or man, we could go clean the fridge and stain the deck and all those other things, right?
I'd rather not.
Right. So I think what I would do to start, at least this is how I approach this personally, and so, you know, I feel like it works very well. What would be a win for today? Like, what do I need to do to win today? What would be that kind of threshold where I'd feel like, okay, I've done a pretty darn good job today? And spell that out in advance, because if you don't spell it out in advance, it does kind of always feel like it's not enough, because you've never said what enough is.
Right.
So, you know, I think that if you spell out what enough is, then you not only can feel gratified and successful and accomplished, but if you choose to do a little bit more, it's like getting extra credit. So you feel even better about it, rather than, you know, acting as if, well, even if I get this next thing done, I still haven't done enough. You know, so much of it is about kind of getting clear about what your expectations are, and when have you done enough to feel good about it? And then I know, for example, when we wrap this up, I will have checked off all the things on my to-do list today that would qualify me to quote unquote win the day. And that's great. It doesn't mean I'm going to close the computer and go for ice cream and not do a thing else for the rest of the day, but it does take a little bit of the pressure off, and it makes me feel like, man, anything I do now is extra credit. So I think maybe reframing that might help.
Yeah, I like that. You know, there's days where I have time. And so, you know, I rarely turn on the TV. You know, I don't, there's not a lot of things like that take up my life. And so I'm like, oh, well, you know, I'm sitting around and it's the middle of the day and I've been in the gym for 6 hours in the morning and I worked out and I sent my emails out. And I'm like, okay, well, now what else can I do? So sometimes I don't mind doing more, but it becomes hard to just shut it down. So I definitely like that approach of just being okay with the, you know, the one or two things each day, and then letting the rest be extra credit. I need to get myself some of those like gold star stickers from grade school, give them to myself.
Man, it feels so much better if we think of it that way, because it, you know, if you do the things you're obligated to do each day, you know, serve the people who've paid you, kind of check the responsibility boxes, if you will, and then you make two or three moves or take two or three steps towards building that better business that you want. I mean, that's a pretty accomplished day. If you take those three steps, let's say 300 days a year, and then there are 65 days we don't do any of them. Man, I mean, that's 900 meaningful steps towards a goal. That has to be about 10 times what the average business owner actually makes.
Yeah. That's a great way to frame it. I like that a lot.
So if we think of it that way, and then treat some of that other stuff like, hey, I'm getting ahead on things and I'm kind of doing the extra credit. Now that just, it feels much better emotionally. And I know those are kind of those soft, kind of intangible words, but if we want to be happy as a business owner and we want to really succeed, we've got to be able to do it in a sustainable way that we're excited to get up and go to work and not feel like we've always got this black cloud looming over our heads.
Right.
Because we never get things done and we always have this kind of never-ending to-do list. So my suggestion would be to kind of frame it this way. And I mean, I know that's how I'm going to approach the rest of the day. There are a number of things I would like to get done by the end of the week that I didn't really allocate time for today because I thought some of the things that I had already had on my list for today were going to be done after we recorded this, and I was able to get them done earlier. So, hey, if I can move a couple things forward on the calendar, now I feel like I'm ahead of the game. And, man, that's a much better experience for me. And I think that a lot of people would probably feel the same way.
Yeah, and that's good. That you should make a little post about that 900 meaningful steps. That's awesome.
Well, good. I'm glad that clicked because that's, man, I mean, the cumulative power of, you know, those incremental steps are, in truth, the things that we're doing with our clients every day, right? Like, I mean, nobody reaches their fitness goals due to one day of exercise or one day of eating supportively.
Right.
So we rely on our clients embracing incremental progress. And so it's probably wise to take some of our own advice.
Yeah. There's so many, I mean, you know, there's so many similarities between life and fitness and nutrition, and I use them all the time on my clients. So I just need to turn them around a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. So, well, man, we covered a lot of ground here, and I think not only were we able to talk about a few really interesting things, but also, you know, some diverse topics like transitioning, you know, into a new space, adding staff, and kind of some management of self, if you would.
Yes.
So yeah, man, we covered a lot of ground. I'm excited about it. So, man, thank you for coming on and having some great questions and being open to some feedback.
Thanks for having me, Pat. I appreciate you, man.
So yeah, man, I'm excited to see where this whole gym transition and evolution goes, and looking forward to helping you along the way with that. And as always, guys, thank you for listening in to another episode of the Ideal Business Show. So this is Pat and Mark signing off.
Thanks again for checking out another episode of the Ideal Business Show. Let me tell you about four different ways that I can help you build your own ideal business, and you'll be able to find more information about all of these in the show notes. First, you can complete the Ideal Business Scorecard. There's a proven framework for creating your ideal business, and you can find out how you score across all 8 ideal business rules by simply filling out a quick quiz. Second, you can join our Business Growth Accelerator program and become a case study. Each month, we take on a couple new clients as case studies in our BGA program, where we guarantee you a $4,000 a month increase in recurring revenue. If you'd like to work with me, Justin Yule, Fred Zoller, and build your clientele and recurring revenue, check out the link in the show notes. Third, you can become part of our exclusive Ideal Business Academy coaching group. My favorite thing to do professionally is to help entrepreneurs like you build your own ideal business. If you'd like to learn more about how we can work together to make that happen, go to the show notes and click the link, Ideal Business Academy. And then finally, fourth, you can join our Fitness Lead Academy. If you feel like you need more leads for your business, but you don't want to pay for an agency to run your ads, just click on the Fitness Lead Academy link and learn more. We'll be opening territories again soon, and those who fill in the form will be at the front of the line to secure their own location.